Welcome to the audio ministry of Fellowship Bible Church in Ann Arbor, Michigan. We want to thank you for taking some of the time God has granted to you to hear a sermon from the FBC pulpit. It is our conviction that an expositional treatment of the biblical text is the most God-honoring way to explain and apply the Word, so that is what we strive to do with all the sermons in our pulpit. We trust that you will be built up in the faith by listening to God's Word. If you would like to find out more information about the church or our ministry, please connect with us through our website at www.fbcaa.org. If you would then turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes 7. This is very interesting. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by a sad countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools, for like the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. Surely oppression destroys a wise man's reason, and a bribe debases the heart. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. Do not say, "Why were the former days better than these?" For you do not inquire wisely concerning this. Remember the good old days? Interesting. Verse 11. Wisdom is good with an inheritance and profitable to those who see the sun. For wisdom is a defense as money is a defense, but the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it. Consider the work of God, for who can make straight what He has made crooked? In the day of prosperity be joyful, but in the day of adversity consider, surely God has appointed the one as well as the other, so that man can find out nothing that will come after him. I have seen everything in my days of vanity. There is a just man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs life in his wickedness. Do not be overly righteous, nor be overly wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Do not be overly wicked, nor be foolish. Why should you die before your time? It is good that you grasp this, and also not remove your hand from the other, for he who fears God will escape them all. Now, we're not preaching through this, but let me just help you with that. I understand that when he says overly righteous or wise or wicked, he's talking about really being naively that way. It's not that you can be too good or that you should be kind of in the middle of good and bad. He's really saying don't be, because the righteous do die in their righteousness and the wicked prolong their lives, don't be righteous and think, okay, this is going to make me live forever. Don't be naive about that, nor be, you know, naively wise. So that's the idea there. Verse 19, wisdom strengthens the wise more than 10 rulers of the city. For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. Also, do not take to heart everything people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. For many times also your own heart has known that even you have cursed others. All this I have proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. As for that which is far off and exceedingly deep, who can find it out? I applied my heart to know, to search and seek out wisdom and the reason of things, to know the wickedness of folly, even the foolishness and madness. And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are fetters. He who pleases God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be trapped by her. Here's what I have found, says the preacher, adding one thing to the other to find out the reason, which my soul still seeks, but I cannot find. One man among a thousand I have found, but a woman among all these I have not found. Truly this only I have found, that God made man upright. So that's initially God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. So not anymore are they upright, is the idea. Chapter 8. Who is like a wise man, and who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face shine, and the sternness of his face is changed. I say, keep the king's commandment for the sake of your oath to God. Do not be hasty to go from his presence. Do not take your stand for an evil thing, for he does whatever pleases him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say to him, what are you doing? He who keeps his command will experience nothing harmful, and a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment, because for every matter there is a time and judgment, though the misery of man increases greatly. For he does not know what will happen, so who can tell him when it will occur? No one has power over the spirit to retain the spirit, and no one has power in the day of death. There is no release from that war, and wickedness will not deliver those who are given to it. All this I have seen and applied to my heart, and applied my heart to every work that is done under the sun. There is a time in which one man rules over another to his own hurt. Then I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of holiness, and they were forgotten in the city where they had done so. This also is vanity. Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner does evil 100 times and his days are prolonged, yet I surely know that it will be well with those who fear God, who fear before him. But it will not be well with the wicked, nor will he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he does not fear before God. There is a vanity which occurs on earth, that there are just men to whom it happens according to the work of the wicked. Again, there are wicked men to whom it happens according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. So I commended enjoyment, because a man has nothing better under the sun than to eat, drink, and be merry, for this will remain with him in his labor all the days of his life, which God gives him under the sun. When I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done on earth, even though one sees no sleep day or night, then I saw all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. For though a man labors to discover it, yet he will not find it. Moreover, though a wise man attempts to know it, he will not be able to find it. Our last Lord's Day of the year. Seems like this year has come and gone very quickly for me, because in part, whenever I have the years that I travel a little bit more, I don't travel that much, honestly, but it just seems like the time flies by. You remember I was in Uruguay for the better part of 2 weeks, I think, back in January or more. And so that means that the end of December and early January last year, or this past year, I was spending a lot of time preparing. And then, of course, we had the general meeting that I always, always takes up quite a bit of time in preparation. So being gone already in January, half the year at that point. And then we traveled a little bit, a few other places as well. So I was not home for over a month out of the year, I think, I calculated. Yeah. So the year does tend to go by very quickly. With the summer ministries that we had as well, those really make the summer fly by quickly. And then the fall with school and everything just really moves along. Let me share with you a couple of year-end reports, and then some summary of kind of where we have been this year in our preaching ministry, and you guys can help me out as well with some thoughts and memories of things that we have had this year. I want to just start with a little prayer letter from Terry Scott, who is working with us in the Howell ministry, as you know. He's been with us there since February, so quite a number of months already, and we look forward to his continued and increased involvement there here at the 2015. But he says, I would like to thank everyone for their prayers and support for their involvement in the Howell Church plant. It would not have been possible without the efforts of the many and faithful. As you are aware, we moved into our building in October. Since then, we've been busy with activities to let the neighborhood know who we are. We had Ladies' Tea in November. In December, over 200 pieces of literature were distributed to houses in our neighborhood by going door to door. There are also some specific areas of ministry that still need much prayer and work. We'll get to the work part if you all will join us in the prayer part. So we continue to pray for them. Andy has mentioned to our group that he is now finished with his leadership at Howell. Please pray for him and his family for God's leading in their lives concerning their future plans. I could use your prayers as well to continue with God's help to lead the flock. Pray for guidance and direction of the Howell ministry. Pray for our regular attenders as they labor furthering the work here. They are all very busy with their work schedules, workloads, and families, and yet try to work in time for ministry. Our church body is averaging between 10 and 15 persons on any given meeting night. Please pray for continued growth, especially now that we are starting to reach out to the neighborhood. Some of our attenders are still not attending all that regularly. As we continue to reach out to those around us, pray for the salvation of souls. That is our primary concern. Pray for the continued work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the believers. In His service, Terry Scott. So that gives you a little idea how you can pray for some particular situations there in Howell as a report for the end of the year. I wonder if I could ask one of our brothers to lead us in prayer for the ministry in Howell upon that news from there. Somebody want to do that? Brother Bill, thank you. Appreciate that. And all of you for supporting the ministry and praying for it. As I said this morning, it's not easy to maintain an existing church nor to start a new one. There are a lot of forces out there in opposition to that. It's easier just to sit on the sideline and let life kind of go by than stick your neck out and say, okay, I'm going to do something big for God and trust that He will work in that way. I also got an end-of-year ministry report from David and Christy Flink, who we don't support regularly every month, but we have over the years a couple of times sent some help to them financially, and Dave has become a good friend. And Christy, of course, you recall, is Terry and Carol's Thompson's daughter. So we know the family. But he's written a lengthy report. I won't be able to read all of it to you tonight. It's actually 5 pages with a lot of pictures to try to summarize their work over this last year. So they write this report as a thank you note for those who faithfully pray and financially support our family and ministry in northern Chile. And they hope this document will encourage you spiritually and inform you of what God has done, challenge you to continue to pray and support and better understand the factors and challenges we face. The growing city of Antofagasta is a unique place to live and minister. Once you put these mentally together, a picture is painted of a city with a man at its helm. It's a city where Satan's work is evident and thriving, with overwhelming spiritual needs, uncountable gospel opportunities, and ultimately a city which God loves. He gives some geographic information. It's sandwiched between the Pacific Ocean and the Atacama Desert, the driest desert in the world, I understand. Economically, it's booming with the mining industry going on there, copper mining. Copper is a very important resource around the world for all kinds of things, electrical and otherwise. Spiritually, it's a modern Corinth. From drug traffickers, nominal religious followers, dutiful Mormon missionaries, witnesses, Seventh-day Adventists, agnostics, atheists, university professors and students, prosperity gospel, faith healers, charismatic Baptists, the whole nine yards. Despite this dry, sun-scorched spiritual spectrum in Antofagasta, we have personally seen and experienced God's rivers of grace that have not only watered but fertilized specific people's hearts and lives to gladly receive and obey God's Word. It's quite a contrast to see something spiritually green growing in the middle of a barren desert. And so they give some updates on details. They had Andy and Colette Thompson, Andy, another offspring of Terry and Carol, substitute for them last year while they were on furlough, and the work, instead of shrinking or staying the same, actually grew under Andy and Colette, and that was a great blessing to Dave and Christy as they returned. They also hosted Emily Jervis, an Appalachian Bible College student. By the way, if you're interested in Bible college, I would encourage you to look at Appalachian or Appalachian Bible College, ABC. It's, I think, about 6 hours from here, but a very conservative and good Bible college. With the departure of Northland from the fold, as it were, that's one less school to think about sending your teen to for Bible college. So think about ABC there. They had monthly men's and ladies' Bible studies. One of the more visible projects was the ministry expansion of their house. They were able to bump out a section and cover a porch and add a space for a couple more rows of chairs there in their living room. So you can't see it very well from this small picture, but it's quite a nice little setup. And they have a fellow, Jose, who is a carpenter from another city called Coquimbo, who helped oversee the construction part of that project. And they did a lot of that work. And then they have some pictures of some of the families there. They have a challenge with getting the men to faithfully attend their monthly men's Bible study. They have, made the new space for meeting services, but they're quickly approaching the next phase. So they've been there 3.5 years, and they have upwards of 40 to 50 in their meetings. So they're going to need more space soon to get this next phase of the ministry going. And then they need more spiritually solid men to help them move toward founding a New Testament church with deacons and a pastor and so on. And then I give a little report on their kids, 4 of them. And then they are sharing some updates as well about their ministry needs and projects, Antofagasta Church Planting Fund, the church library project. They need a car top carrier for their minivan, the generator. When they have services and a little earthquake hits, then they lose electricity, and that can cause a little bit of a problem. So, and additional support. We might consider how we can participate in that way as well. So they were around 89% of their recommended support for the year. So they could use a little boost that way. Let me pray if you would join me for the Flinks then. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this report, and we ask that you will watch over David and Christy and their children, for Jordan and Ben and Kaylee and Lucas. Father, it's our prayer that you will continue to just make that ministry go so well and provide for the burdens and the difficulties, some of the things that our brother has shared with me that are not in this prayer letter, which are challenges for the work going forward. You know all of those, and we pray that you will touch their lives, that you will help them, that you will help the believers in that church to be wise and to be well informed in the Bible through Brother David, and make good decisions about the future of that ministry. We'll commit that to you. We do commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I just went through and put down a few lists of things that we have done this year as far as series of preaching. Remember, we worked through Romans. So 2014 was the year of the second half of Romans. 34 messages on Romans 9 through 16. And then we also did 20 messages, I can't believe this, but 20 messages in Zechariah, just like that, on Sunday evenings. So we hopefully understand the book of Zechariah a little bit better now than we did before. We had a series on the Lord's table where we talked about the Lord's table as a symbol, as a prophecy, as a memorial, as a proclamation, as in need of protection from sin. And that was just 6 of the messages, but then there were others as well that we had when guest speakers were here. I'm thankful for Brother James, who taught us in the book of Judges earlier in the year, and also in Ruth. So he had 6 or 7 part series in the book of Ruth, and then many in Judges. But I only have 2 of them listed here as ones that we recorded and put on the church website. So. Let's see, what else did we have last year? And then we had 2 other groups of sermons. We had miscellaneous ones that I've put together, and then some guest preachers. I also did go through the book of Acts on Wednesday nights, and we covered Acts 20 through the end of the book. So that was also a 2-year project, by the way. We started in the middle of 2012 and then finished around the middle of 2014. On Wednesday evening. So we've already gone through the book of Acts together that way. And then we had a number of miscellaneous messages. The baby dedication really was targeted towards the role of dad and mom in the home. You know, whenever I preach to the babies, they just fall asleep anyway, so I might as well talk to mom and dad. We also had a message on to those who trust in themselves. The lost son, again, an evangelistic message. We talked about the medicine of thanksgiving in Psalm 105 and 106. We had a special series. Well, I'll mention that one in a moment. We had why people turn away, pray fervently, battling consumerism in the church. I will build my church. Andy preached on that, and also on Genesis 9, on the covenant with Noah. I taught a couple of messages on the eternal sonship of Christ. At Easter time, we talked about the death of Christ, the resurrection body of Christ, and the death of death. Remember that, those catchy titles there for that series over Easter weekend. And then, you know, I said 34 messages on Romans. You might say, well, why wasn't there 50 or 52, right? Well, because we had some of these extra ones in evangelistic services, and then we had messages from guest speakers, such as a Sunday with Paul Hiscock, sermon and song. Remember, he had all that stuff set up here and taught us on the different hymns, different hymn writers, and things of that nature. We also had John Odell here a number of times, and he preached on a couple that we have on the recording and then a few that we don't. The ones on the website are WrestleMania 1 and 2. If you haven't heard those, you should hear those. Jacob wrestling with God, and then our wrestling with in striving against sin and against the wiles of the devil. Taking up the cross was the subject of Scott Willequett's message, Matthew 16, and loving God with everything. Remember that one? That was a good message regarding loving God with all we have. That was in a Sunday morning in Deuteronomy 6. And then Perry Reddy was here, remember? Preached on the Spirit-filled church, and then he preached on Joshua and also on the Great Commission. We had an update from Brian McPhail Fawzi as he sought support for the ministry that they're doing. And there were also in his messages another message, three marks of a missions-minded church. You might want to go back and listen to some of these. They're all available there on the website. Jeremy Dodelaire was here, gave a missions update and talked about the real faith of Noah in Genesis 6. And he also had a Lord's Table service for us, remembering Christ in 1 Corinthians 11. We had Alex Wheeler back again with his new wife, Elizabeth. And they're actually on the field now, way off on the other side of the globe, getting acquainted with their new place and languages and the work that they're going to be doing. We count it a privilege to be a slight partner with them and working on their software that they'll use to work in Bible translation. But he preached on the sufficient word from 2 Timothy 3. That is one message we don't have because as Dwayne finished recording it, the power went out. And there is no backup of those messages until they are put on the hard drive. So it was not yet saved, so we didn't get that one. But that was, I think, the only major catastrophe of the sound system year for Dwayne, if he was going to do a year in review of the machines back there. So that's where we were. I trust that you learned a lot and have grown this year through these. Now, there were some other things that we should maybe mention. There were some major events in the church, and there's some things that I learned. Major events in the church. Just give me a, shoot out a couple of those here. What do you remember? What's that? Our losses, yes. Heaven's gains, yes. What's that? Yep, that's right. Yep, God giving and God taking away. Gail Dix, the night before I traveled home from Uruguay, I got the call from Naomi to let me know on, I think it was a Thursday night. I think it was that Gail had left this life, and so timing worked out so that I could come home and have the funeral that Monday, I think, right after I got back. So, or Tuesday, whichever it was. And then Mrs. Beard, and we had that. And Uncle Tiny. We didn't have a service here, but his family asked us to come out to a restaurant in Jackson and to have a ministry there with them. So we had a wonderful meal and a memorial service, and I preached a short message and was able to have some influence on them. So that was wonderful as well. For me, my grandmother passed away, so I add her into the mix there as well. The Brattons have just had a dear friend pass away. Her funeral is, her memorial service is tomorrow in Kalamazoo. That's Diane Moffitt. So I know you all have others as well in your family who have left this life. Births, of course, we had the baby dedication. Those are among my favorite services. See those new babies. Big ministries that we had or other big events in the church. Yes? Yeah, amen. Vacation Bible School's done a... Yeah, you did. Retirement is a good thing, isn't it? You can help in the middle of the week ministries. Bill? Yeah. Howell Mellon Fest and the Ann Arbor Art Fair ministries. I appreciated the Michelle and JL leading the charge on getting the music out there in the hospitals this past few weeks ago. What's that? Mm-hmm. Yep. So lots of things God has allowed us to do. We won't focus on all those. We will end up forgetting those things that are behind and pressing on toward those things that are in front of us, right? So, yeah. Lessons that you've learned. Here's one that I learned. I always wondered, why is it that God uses trials in our lives to bring about sanctification? It seems like such a, I don't know what the word is, a frustrating thing. You know, it's a difficult thing. Trials only come about because we live in this sinful world. I mean, if we didn't have sin here, there wouldn't be really any trials to shape us. And I just realized, you know, God in His wisdom knows that trials are the best way to teach someone who may not be teachable any other way. Now, of course, we also are following the example of our Lord in His footsteps when He suffered and then waited for His glory. And so we have that same pattern of suffering, trials, and tribulations, and then glory after that. But, you know, sometimes we're just pretty hard-headed. And we don't learn from, you know, Sunday school and Sunday morning preaching. So what does God have to do? Do a little reinforcement with some trials to force us to learn the lessons that He wants us to learn and to grow in the way that He wants us to grow. I mean, if you have a plant inside of your house, you've grown it from a seed and it becomes a seedling and it never experiences any wind, what's it going to do the first time you just put it out there on a 25-mile-an-hour windy day? It's just going to go down, right? So God sends the winds of trials to strengthen our faith so that we can grow tall and strong for Him. Yeah, well, the role of a church family in our lives is very crucial, even though many have tried to live a life in isolation from any connection with the church family. It's a sad, sad thing. Anyone else? Lessons learned 2014. Well, I trust that maybe that question will help you to stop and think tonight or tomorrow or in these coming days. What has God done with me this year and how have I learned? And maybe what are my goals going to be in 2015? What might God do with me in the upcoming year? Should He tarry? 2015 very well could be the year in which the world is turned upside down with the rapture and with all the end time events unfolding before our eyes. But we don't know that, and so we must continue to work and wait patiently. But, you know, living a life without stopping to think, okay, where have I been? Where am I going? What am I doing? It's not a good thing to just kind of bumble through life. You should stop and think and say, okay, what have I learned? What do I need to learn? You know, and realizing we don't even know what we need to learn, yet God is gracious and patient with us. Heavenly Father, we ask that you will be with us this coming week, and as we reflect on what you have done with us in this last year, the trials that you've brought us through personally or as a church or as a society, we ask that you will help us to be more and more faithful to you. Lord, we long to see your face. We long for righteousness, and we thank you for the promise that our longing will be fulfilled through Christ Jesus. We thank you for all your many blessings. Too many to number. Should we count them one by one, it would amaze us what the Lord has done. And so we thank you for all of this. I pray for the Carnes family that they will all be feeling better soon. And for anyone else, for Jackson Collins, who is not feeling well today, we pray that you'll heal up that ear infection or whatever he has. And for Christy and for Luke McCarlin, who's still not 100%, we commend him to you as well. And we pray for your grace and blessing to be our portion. Without it, we would be in a world of trouble. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.